You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. So come to the site now. We've got you ready for the NFL Combine. We'll have some live coverage of the events that are happening in Indianapolis there with our team on the scene. So check that out. And a lot of workouts about to begin there with the positional drills and whatnot to get help us do a real assessment of the entire class. And that's what we've been talking about here at Locked On Fantasy Football. We went through the quarterback class. We went through the running back class this week and rankings, how I've looked at them kind of roughly and what their fantasy football impact could be here immediately as rookies in 2019. So we'll look at the wide receivers today. And wide receivers, exciting position. They're the marquee position now in the NFL. And with this one, we won't go as deep, but pretty deep here. We'll go well into the third or fourth round of guys that we really like here. And there's quite a good variety of wide receivers here. That's what I like about this class. And there's going to be different kind of playmakers to offer every team that needs help with this position, whether they're looking for that number one traditional outside wideout, or if they're looking for that slot receiver that can help them here. That's a good diverse option on the board. And I think the number one guy that'll still be the number one guy coming out of the combine is DK Metcalf of Ole Miss. 6'4", 230, built like a truck here. We saw those pictures on Instagram. He's legitimately looking like a number one. I think you look at Corey Davis from a few years ago, I think Metcalf is a better version of him overall, can stretch the field a little bit, finish drives, and extremely tough to bring down. So a team like the Browns might be interested there, with the Redskins early in the draft. He could really just change the way offense looks here at the top of it. And Metcalf, just really strong build and really powerful there. Now, I look at him being helpful in the red zone right away, but also making some big plays on occasion for his team when they spread the field, but a chance to start right away and be very productive as they groom him as a number one wherever he goes. Now, there's a debate over the next receivers here, A.J. Brown or Marquise Brown. I actually have A.J. Brown a little down. That's Metcalf's teammate from Ole Miss. I like Marquise Brown. There's a concern about the Liz Frank injury now, but 5'10", 168. He's a little bit like his cousin Antonio, a little bit smaller, but a big playmaker. Runs good routes after the catch, very tough. That type of receiver that you're looking at here. So a little different profile from what we're looking at traditionally in the first round. I still have him in the first round going to the Titans because he's a good complement to what Davis can do. Corey Davis, the first round pick that started to emerge last year. And again, Metcalf, a little bit better version of him. A.J. Brown, I have him a few notches below. I prefer some of the bigger receivers there in the first round. I have him on the cusp of the first round, probably more in the second round to me. But Marquise Brown, I mean, he's a guy that you just put on the field, dazzles. He's Hollywood is his nickname. I think it lives up to that. And A.J. Brown, I think he's getting lost a little bit with some of these bigger targets there, and I'll mention them here shortly before the break. But he's a guy, again, that can move around. I think he's a good complement to what Metcalf did there. Some big plays, working the outside, can play the inside if needed as well. So versatile receiver, has a lot of plays. But again, 6'1", 230, he's kind of in between that Marquise Brown, the quick, smaller guy versus the big presence like Metcalf. So that's why A.J. Brown, a little bit behind those guys on the board to me. And I'm looking at this draft class. The next guy that we'll look at here is Kelvin Harmon of NC State. You look at Kelvin Harmon, very special player overall, kind of thinner build, 6'3", 214, but does a lot of little things well, runs really good routes, big play threat, can help in the running game as well as a blocker. So some people have said he's a good fit for the Patriots. I do agree with that that type of player, maybe the end of the first round. He could go earlier than that as well. But Kelvin Harmon has a lot of special attributes here from NC State. Again, 6'3", 214, does a lot of things right on the field, the little things that are hard to teach there in the NFL. So I think the coaching evaluators and other scouts are really going to like what Harmon does here on the field, and they're really fall in love with him because he's a technically sound receiver, does little things well beyond just catching the football, and again has that sneaky deep speed to make some big plays as well. So if I had to look at it now, Metcalf again locking in as a number one, I think there might be one receiver I look at ahead of Harmon in between where Brown and Metcalf go as well as N'Keal Harry of Arizona State. Again, a physical specimen, not as a big as Metcalf, 6'4", 213, so gives up about 17 to 20 pounds on him, but made a lot of plays at Arizona State. I had the Colts being interested in guys like Metcalf and Harry, mainly because of that big, strong outside receiver. They already have that downfield threat and T.Y. Hilton, some other tough receivers in the slot. They have some tight ends as well, but N'Keal Harry is the kind of the profile of the receiver they've been missing. Dante Moncrief didn't quite live up to what they expected as that outside number one. So N'Keal Harry is a chance to reboot at that position and think about a different type of wide receiver to help T.Y. Hilton really produce here in 2019. And T.Y. Hilton's getting a little older, can slow down a bit. Tight ends, we're not sure about Jack Doyle and his presence after that tough kidney injury that ended his season early here. You have Eric Ebron, great pass catcher, but red zone threat only, not a guy that they're looking at all over the field. They're probably going to lose Eric Swope in free agency or choose not to sign him. So there are some openings for pass catchers, especially when you look at Ryan Grant. After 1 year, I don't think they're going to bring him back. You're looking at Dontrell Inman as well, walking from the Colts. So Colts are definitely going to be in market for a wide receiver, and I think it starts with guys like Metcalf and Harry, those big guys, and I think Harmon would be about third on the board for these type teams looking for that outside threat at wide receiver. So those are the guys that right now that I have first-round potential grades. I think right now in my mock draft, I have Metcalf, Marquise Brown, Kelvin Harmon, and N'Keal Harry all going, and A.J. Brown just outside that in the second round. A.J. Brown, again, after all these guys came out and the class got stacked a little bit, A.J. Brown slid down to me a little bit because I think these other guys have some more special dynamic attributes and size in their favor for the most part. And when you go Marquise versus A.J., I think Marquise has a little bit more juice, and the foot injury hopefully will not be a concern. It looks like he'll be ready here for the summer program. OTAs now, he'll maybe a long shot there being drafted just before then, but I think by the June minicamp rolling around and what he needs to do as a rookie before training camp, I think Marquise Brown will be good. And if that's the case, we're going to trust him there to do just that and not change his draft stock too much, even though he won't be participating in the combine or his pro day there at Oklahoma. So we're talking a lot about the NFL draft. Well, this is what the season is here for Locked On NFL Network, Locked On Network in general. Check out our two draft podcasts. That's right, two draft-specific podcasts here from the Draft Network. We have Locked On NFL Draft and the Draft Dudes podcast. So two different spins from the same spot here to talk about the 2019 NFL Draft, all the good nitty-gritty, juicy details there. And then you also have a lot of good stuff from our team-by-team podcast, and they'll be all over the board here at the Combine, covering the best that's coming out of there, the rumors, news, notes you need to know about your team, and what your team is looking like in addressing the draft here in 2019. So check out those shows and keep listening to Locked On Fantasy Football as we give you updated information on the draft as well as part of our advanced scouting for fantasy football in 2019. We're right back here to look at the next wave of wide receivers that intrigued me here in the 2019 NFL Draft. Okay, let's look at some other wide receivers here and some guys that are on the cusp. Again, this is a very good class to me overall, where you have a lot of potential guys to go in the first round. The board's still going to be shaken up a little bit. But one guy that I have had in the first round mocked, and speaking of the Colts, I was talking about them and some other teams, is J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. I think part of this is going to be what happens with the Steelers and Antonio Brown if there's more need for the wide receiver early. But Arcega-Whiteside does a lot of things really well. He's a big-time receiver, 6'3", 225, bit old school, not really a short pass catch receiver, goes downfield, gets physical, creates the contact penalties, can score in the red zone, can also make some big plays downfield, and the air yards, all that good stuff is in Arcega-Whiteside's favor. So a lot of those next-generation kind of in-depth stats when it comes to wide receivers, depth of target, all that stuff, and going up to catch the ball, catch radius, all those things are in Arcega-Whiteside's favor. So here's a guy, good pedigree at Stanford, worked well with the quarterbacks there, came up with big catches and big games consistently. So a lot of things to like about Arcega-Whiteside, and he's a guy that could really clean up the board. He's a senior, so maybe some of these guys that are rising, they're ahead of him, kind of got the buzz. But Arcega-Whiteside, he's going to be solid for whoever takes him there, either in the late first round or early second round. Just a lot of special qualities in being that old school, again, big outside number one receiver that can also finish drives for you in the red zone. So he could be very productive there immediately based on where he goes in the NFL. Now, changing gears to a different type of receivers, Deebo Samuel, 6'0", 210. I'm not sure if this guy is going to be maybe the toughest, like, possession receiver that you look at, but he can take a top off of defense. I think a little bit of DJ Moore, the first-round pick that the Panthers took out of Maryland last year, a little bit of that in Deebo Samuel here, 6'0", 210, similarly sized, can take short passes long ways, can make things happen after the catch, can stretch the field as well. The question is the consistency, hanging tough there, being durable, and hanging in to make those tough catches in traffic. So that's something he's going to have to develop a little bit more. Right now, he's just a cog playmaker, which a lot of teams could use. It could be a target, say, for the Steelers to develop later into potential Antonio Brown, Emmanuel Sanders-type guy in time. So Samuel, again, there's a lot of things that to like about him, but there is question 6'0", 210 about, is that frame and his strength going to help him hold up and be as effective as he needs to be in all kinds of situations in the NFL? And that's still to be determined with Deebo Samuel. The next guy we'll talk about is Riley Ridley of Georgia, 6'2", 200. And if that name sounds familiar, it should. It's Calvin Ridley's brother, the Alabama first-round pick of the Falcons. We know Calvin had some big games. Riley Ridley is kind of similar. He's not necessarily going to be that dominant downfield threat. I think Calvin surprised people a little bit, some big playability, but 6'2", 200. He's just a solid receiver. I think that's the best thing to say about him. He's the type of guy that's going to come through, throw it to him in the red zone, make the tough catches. There's nothing maybe spectacular about Ridley, and that's why he's more seen as a second-round pick. There's no dynamic wow factor with Ridley. He's just solid all around, checks all the boxes, can do all the little things right again at that position. Kind of like what we mentioned with Calvin Harmon. I think in relation to Calvin Harmon, Ridley a little bit lesser with the skills, but overall not that much separating them. And again, having the pedigree of Calvin in the league really helps, because he had a very good year with the Falcons immediately in their offense when used right as that number two outside position type. And that's what you're looking at with Ridley as well in this class. And he's a guy that, again, very what you see is what you get. Sometimes you want those type of players. In the Georgia pro style, we've seen them with the running backs, we've seen them with the quarterbacks, we've seen them with other positions. If you see them on the field excelling for Georgia with all their schemes and systems, they're going to be a lot of what they were there against a higher level of competition in the NFL. So you just adjust for that, but it's a little easier to evaluate those type of players. Now, the next guy we'll talk about is Paris Campbell. He's the best of the Ohio State receivers in this class, 6'1", 208. He's not going to be confused with Michael Thomas, the bigger target there, move around a little bit. Not necessarily the speedy deep threat of Ted Ginn's caliber, but he's up there, 6'1", 208. I think Ted Ginn is just on a different level when he came out in terms of the speed. He went really high in the draft. Keep that in mind. Campbell Moore, it's going to be about finding, can he do other things here well? He was very productive, had those big plays in college, but they don't know in the NFL if he's going to be much more than that, just providing those big plays. 6'1", 208. It's not maybe the ideal size here for the outside, a big play guy that you're looking for, especially when you have guys that are a little bit bigger in this class. I think in other drafts he could be looked at as a back-end first-round pick, but there are some special qualities. He does have a wow factor in terms of his big plays and stretching the field, speed and quickness. So those are some things that are going to get drafted, but the other parts of his game are going to be the question marks, again, the route running, the hands, all that good stuff that really defines a wide receiver for the consistency of their play, and I think that is going to be the biggest concern. Now, the next receiver we'll talk about, Hakeem Butler. He's a guy that's been moving up, 6'6", 225. Love the size. He's trying to put the speed with the size. There's a guy later in the draft, Miles Boykin of Notre Dame, who's trying to do the same kind of thing. He's 6'4", 228. So it's the same thing as putting that speed with that massive size. Butler, 6'6", 225. We'll have to see how he turns out there. But it's really about the speed. Can he show the speed is there with that size? And if he is, then he's going to creep up in the conversation of the Iowa State product with the DK Metcalfs of the world and N'Keal Harris, those type. And I think the separation right now between those types and him is just questions about that speed going forward. And I think that's a legitimate concern here with Butler. He just tore off the Big 12, but everybody kind of tears up the Big 12 as a wide receiver, so they want to see a potential for the next notch to be reached level of success, and that's what they're going to look at in Butler in the combine here, and it should be interesting to see him work out and see what he can do to impress scouts in the other direction that he can go towards being more first-round pick into plateauing maybe in the second round and not falling on the other side to the third round. So this show, it's conveniently timed and formatted here, and it's perfect for listening in your car. That's right. Podcast listening in the car is the best way to consume things sometimes because it's the perfect time, 25 minutes or so. You're good to go. The insight analysis you need to know, listening, drive around, whatever your favorite topic is here on the Locked On NFL Network. If you're listening to this show, it's great. You're driving around, getting what you need to get done, and we're good to go for you and give you all the information in this tight, neatly wrapped bow that you're looking for in whatever sport you're following, whether it's NFL, NBA, MLB, college sports. We've got you covered with the Team by Team podcast, our general podcast, and again, the goal is to inform and entertain you in this nice, compact, daily package there, and make it a habit in your driving day, whether you're commuting to work or just going around during the day, that Locked On Fantasy Football and other shows are part of your habit, and we're really happy to bring them to you. And if you have suggestions, ways to improve the show, please reach out there on social media. My Twitter handle is Vinny Iyer. Facebook is Vinny Iyer, Vinny.Iyer. So check that out. And Locked On Fantasy Football, we'll keep talking here throughout the offseason, and take us with you wherever you go in your car. We'll be right back here to look at the rest of the notable wide receivers of the 2019 class. All right, let's pick up where we left off here. Emmanuel Hall from Missouri is one of the final five guys I'll talk about here on this podcast. A lot more guys will be drafted, we know, at wide receiver, but these are guys I think that stand out with a little bit of impact here. Emmanuel Hall, again, nice size. We want to see if he can put it together a little bit, be consistent. He's not the best route runner. He's one of those speedsters that can fly, and if you can find a spot for him, the kid out of Missouri can be special, but 6'3", 195, so a little slider build on the other side of 200, considering he's not profiling as a slot receiver. So can he hold up there and do more than being that one-trick pony of a speedy deep threat? And that can burn teams. Teams can fall in love with the speed, see the John Ross factor. The Bengals are already trying to peddle the former Washington star. The combine, granted, there were some injuries with Ross and there were concerns there, but he still didn't show that he could do a lot more than just run fast and do things on the outside. And that's usually not going to make you last in the NFL. Now, Anthony Johnson of Buffalo, I think, is a preferable prospect here. 6'2", 210, a little bit smoother, senior. Buffalo's passing game getting a lot of attention there here in the draft. So Anthony Johnson, if I'm going to go somewhere, I think Johnson's a little safer than Hall as a pick that you're looking at. And I think they're going to be very similar in where they're targeted here, probably third round-ish. Johnson, maybe with small school attributes, I think that could be the only thing that makes him look a little different than Hall to some people. But I think Johnson's a better all-around prospect, and I think he's a sleeper to watch in this draft. The next sleeper that you look at is Terry McLaurin. He lit it up at the Senior Bowl. He's a good after-the-catch receiver. He's quick. He can make things happen in the open field. Didn't have a high history of production there with the Buckeyes, not playing as much, very loaded receiving core. But he can do a lot of little things right again. One of those guys, technically sound, he proved that. Runs good routes, can get some position to make those big plays in open field after the catch. All these little things that add up more in the NFL than in college, where he might be a little bit limited, but doing the tough, dirty work in tighter quarters there in the NFL is really what impresses people. Because you're not going to have that open field to run through and do things. You're going to have to manufacture a little bit, grind a little bit, and McLaurin is the type of guy who can do that for sure, and I really liked his pre-draft process so far. The next guy we look at is Andy Isabella of Massachusetts. This guy's getting a ton of buzz, and he's in that mold, we know, the Wes Welker, Julian Edelman mode, 5'10", 190. Another guy from New England to look at that New England could target here in one of the later rounds. They went after Braxton Berrios last year. They didn't quite work out. Maybe trying to hedge their bets if Julian Edelman has to move on. They moved on from Danny Amendola last year. Maybe the Dolphins look at him as they may look to go beyond Amendola, but Andy Isabella, the prototypical slot receiver that teams like to plug in there in big sets. Maybe the Cowboys look at him as a replacement for free agent Cole Beasley, a little bit more explosive Isabella can be and be effective. So we'll see what he does at the combine. And finally, the ironically named Little Jordan Humphrey of Texas, 6'4", 225. You look at this guy, he's a big slot. So you think about Marcus Colston, those type of receivers from the past, a guy like Larry Fitzgerald. We know that they used him like that in Arizona of late, but a big slot, an inside guy that you can put in there and kind of change the game. Jordan Matthews, you know, those type of players. So when you look at Humphrey, that's kind of the asset. He's a very unique receiver. So very specific type of receiver. But again, if you're a team like the Saints and you like that type, and I know they've had some different guys that they worked in the middle of the field, namely Keith Kirkwood, the undrafted player. But Little Jordan Humphrey, that type of player in that particular offensive scheme. And teams now are looking more and more at the bigger slot receiver because he can do a little bit differently in terms of the way he can be covered and can be a matchup absolute nightmare for anyone. And Jordan Humphrey, Little Jordan Humphrey, is a guy that I would look at. And surprisingly, for his size, seen more of an inside threat, but I think that's where he's more comfortable, can work and win his routes and be most effective. So there you have it. There's a look at the wide receivers of note here. I went pretty deep here overall with guys I like. You're looking at 15 players that I think could have some good impact here. I mentioned the sleeper to watch later is Miles Boykin of Notre Dame. He could join this group here and do some things. And again, another big receiver trying to establish himself. But I feel pretty good about some of these big names that we know that can produce here and be effective and be on our fantasy radar for 2019. That's the most important thing based on where they land here in the 2019 NFL Draft. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you tomorrow to talk about the tight end class in the 2019 NFL Draft.